Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Holtzcast. Cole Pedham here, as always, and we're here to give our thoughts and react to Aston Villa 0, Burnley 0. A very interactive and engaging 0-0 in terms of feedback from our followers on Twitter and, of course, those who listen to the podcast, which is interesting since it's 0-0. But nonetheless, of course, it's not just me here. I'm always here with my good friend, Danny Raza. Danny, how you doing?
I feel numb. Linkin Park numb. That's where I'm at right now. Linkin Park featuring Jay-Z numb. That's where I'm at. That was the most one-sided 0-0 I've seen in my life. Maybe that's a bit of an exaggeration, but it felt that way. This made me want to throw out my computer. That's what it made me want to do. I imagined it was a Football Manager game. It gave me just flashbacks to all the times I've reloaded saves because that was some BS, Cole.
Come on, you just exposed yourself as a save scummer.
I expose myself. It's fine. What do you want me to do? If I've spent 4 hours getting to a certain point in this, if I've made it to the FA Cup final on a save, right, I'm not throwing that out. It's fine. It's a part of the game. You're allowed to do that. But we can't do that now. 0-0. We're going to have to take the point.
Oh, that's fair enough. And of course, you've already heard him. It's Sir Dom Phillips. He's making his second appearance and return to the Holtzcast. So, Dom, how you doing?
It's a pleasure to be back on. I wish it was in better circumstances in the sense that, as Danny says, you know, I wish we could save scum run. I wish we could go back and just fix Conte's illness, maybe get a bit more quality in the summer and just be able to have those finishing chances today. But and I think it was also quite unlucky, but it's definitely one where the mood in the chat right now is quite frustrating, let's be honest.
Yeah, it's really, honestly, I'm so, I almost feel like I'm drunk or something asking if that really just happened that we had, I think the stat is that we had what, 26 or 27,
27.
Shots on, well, shot attempts, I should say. Yeah. And I think it was El Ghazi, Grealish, Watkins, and Traore had 22 of them. Yeah. No Nakamba screamer tonight, unfortunately, either. I was just speaking to Dom about that before. It's on its way. It's going to break every universe possible.
That will break Twitter.
Definitely will.
I can't wait for the day.
Absolutely. But nonetheless, guys, let's dive right into it. Of course, like I said, 0-0 to Burnley, our first draw of the season, in which, to be fair, and I feel like I've been saying for the last few opposition previews I've done with opposing fans, I always felt like it's coming. And definitely during the festive period, you can kind of see that happening. So what better way to kick it off than a 0-0 with Burnley? So, Danny, let's dive right into it. We'll dive right into the first half. What were your thoughts on the first half? I mean, really, I didn't really have any complaints from our standpoint.
Or was there even halves? It was the same game throughout the entire match. But yeah, first half, I suppose, that was when the big opportunities came. That's when we hit the bar a couple of times. And yeah, it just never looked like it was going in. I think let's start at the fact that we had a lot of new players in the team from the last lineup. Obviously, Barkley's still out injured and that didn't help. But Nakamba's in, House's in, El Ghazi's in, Bertrand Traore's in. He played last week, didn't he? Well, whatever. He's still getting game time. El Mohamedy, he's in as well. I thought that, to be fair, Nakamba looked very, very tidy early on. You saw Anwar El Ghazi starting to make a lot of forward runs, linking up quite well with Jack Grealish and Ollie Watkins. And I just thought, well, we've got a score. I thought we were dominating the game. I thought that it was everything was aiming towards a Villa victory, a Villa goal. And I didn't ever really feel like Burnley threatened us bar 1-4-on-3 situation.
Yeah, it's an interesting one when you look at it, especially in the first half. I mean, I can only think of the one clear-cut opportunity from Burnley's standpoint, and that was, I think, a Brownhill cross into the box, and Emmy Martinez makes another fantastic save. I mean, Super Emmy at his finest. What a bargain he is turning out to be, for even considering what we paid for him. But Dom, I'll come to you next. What were your thoughts on the first half? And if you were kind of to pick one player that impressed you most in that half, who would it be?
I mean, if I had to pick one player who impressed me most, I mean, as Danny says, like the game was not a game of two halves. It was a game of one very long 90-minute spell of one Villa blur. Just dominating, but yeah, one blur. I can't remember any of it, to be honest. That's how, as you say, it's quite a strange sensation looking back on a game where you just like can't believe that just happened. But the standout player for me was Grealish, and I'm a guy who for a long time has sort of supported the idea of playing Jack out left, keep him out left. I think he likes those one-on-one duels against the fullbacks. I think it often has him a bit more space, a bit more freedom to roam. But the way he utilised the 10 role today with El Ghazi and Traore on the side of him was fantastic. He was at the heart of everything. He was winning his fouls. He was beating players. He was doing everything you want him to do, to be honest. And I just thought he had a fantastic game. And considering he's playing in it, I know it's his natural position, some might say, but it's a different position nonetheless. It's a similar role, but it's a different role. And he was top class. As you say, you know, Emmy's save, just, I can't remember a game where Emmy Martinez hasn't made a save where I go, well, that's why we signed him. He is turning out to be, as you say, a bargain at 20 million. Arsenal with Leno right now, you know, looking pretty shambolic, if you ask me. I think that Burnley never really threatened over the course of the game. I just think we were just so unlucky. El Ghazi had a really good chance with the free kick, had a couple of other good ones, but in the end, just need to have a better final ball and need to have a better finish when the balls do come in.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I feel like this podcast is going to be kind of going all over the place, and it's the literally God-honest truth when I say it's an absolute blur. I mean, opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, and it just didn't seem to go in. And kind of throughout this podcast, we're going to read out, of course, some of your listeners. Of course, some of you listening probably got involved as well, based on some of the people that kind of give us comments and compliments after, saying thanks for reading out my Twitter comments. So we'll kind of go over those. Of course, if you want to get involved in the future, it's at 7500 to Holt. You can always tweet us after the game. Let us know your thoughts. Let's start here not with James Rushton's picture that just came back up on my phone. If James is listening, good to see you, buddy. We'll start it with, at RM700RM. I think this kind of sums it up best. And Danny, I'll come to you with this one. Target practice is needed tomorrow. Does that sum it up for you?
I think we should just stick a carrot inside the goal. So every time you score a goal, you can have a carrot, a nice little festive treat. I don't know. I think it's one of those things which I find it. Is it difficult to coach? I mean, part of me was thinking it's difficult to coach, but it wasn't that they were unlucky. Like the shots were bad. Like they were bad shots. You know, there was a couple of times for me, I think, Anwar El Ghazi's kind of come into the area and he's passed it straight to the keeper. It wasn't him. It wasn't just him. It was Watkins as well. Watkins had another opportunity, passed it straight to the keeper. Now, getting yourselves in certain positions where it's difficult to score from, I understand. But you've got to have better instincts. You've got to be more switched on. You've got to be, you know, punishing the opposition when they let you through like that. Because, you know, if another team has 27 shots on target against Villa, you expect it to be a 4-0 draw. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not 27 shots on target, sorry, 27 shots. So I just thought the finishing was bad. Anwar El Ghazi, his shot choice was questionable. I think we had the same discussion after the Stoke game, and this is why he got a lot of stick for it. By the way more that was warranted. Let's not go into that situation again, but you know what I'm talking about. But it was a similar situation with that. Looked our most creative player, to be fair to him. But just fluffing chance after chance. And you just can't be doing that against Burnley, because at the end of the day, Tarkowski and me, both of them are going to just block those shots for days.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Like, if you look at the stats in general, I mean, 59% possession to us. You look at dual success rate, we had 52% to their 48. Aerial duels won, we had almost 53 to their 47. They led in interceptions 16 to our 9. Corners, we had 11, they had 1. I don't want to call it complete domination, but we were well and truly the better side and deserved all 3 points. If I go back to Twitter, @Dan_AVFC88 says, knew well it was one of those nights when we hit the bar twice, still plenty of effort and a good performance overall. So keeping kind of those thoughts in mind, Dom, how do you feel about that? Because all those chances, I mean, you have to bury one of those. And even to what Danny said about Anwar El Ghazi, I mean, I think it was he had 8 chances at one point. The commentator said the most of anyone on the Villa side at that point in time. Of course, that's a lot, and you think you have to bury one of those. But does that maybe speak to his lack of playing time? Is it rustiness, or is that just typical Anwar El Ghazi?
I think, you know, a lot of the sentiments echoed in that tweet are quite accurate in the sense that we did have a good game. It was a good performance. You know, the finishing wasn't there, and that's inexcusable. We were creating lots of good chances. We were dominating the game. We were moving the ball well, and it was very smart, and that's with 5 first-team players out. In terms of El Ghazi, I don't want to say it is tending to be, for me, typical Anwar El Ghazi, and I think that just comes down to, I think, a lack of his own confidence, because I think it's very easy to get on his back at times, and I know that footballers, you know, get a lot of abuse. We've seen that with El Ghazi. I'm not going to go into detail on it, but I think that he, you know, people like Grealish are now, he's the best finisher at the club. We've seen he can have moments where he looks like a fantastic player, like the goal against West Brom, for example. You know, his performance in the playoff final was mercurial. And, you know, especially in the first half today, I thought that his general play was outstanding when he'd beat 3 or 4 players and fashion a bit of space and thinking, oh my God, he's going to curl into the top corner. And then he'd let go a shot that's a little bit weak. But at the end of the day, I do think Villa were very unlucky. Hawes's header hits the post. But Watkins didn't really get any good service today. He continues to be one of our best players, in my view. I thought El Ghazi, again, misses a few chances. But Jack misses a few chances. But again, you know, they're getting into these positions, and it's only a matter of time with more coaching, with more time, with more confidence, and with more cohesion that, you know, these missed chances that were being made to Rue, they're going to come into goals. And, you know, we were talking about it before. I can't remember if it was before an hour or not, but, you know, Dan was saying, like, you know, Man City 1-1 West Brom, Liverpool 1-1 Fulham. The top teams have games where they just can't finish their dinner. And, you know, I think today might have been one of those days for Villa, but, you know, on another day, we'd probably beat these 4 or 5-0. So we'll take it's a tough one to take on the chin, I think, as fans, but there's a lot of positives to take. And I think we have to try and see it from that perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the other player I want to focus on right now would be Bertrand Traore, of course. He did start, and you do obviously see people on Twitter who are literally one end of the spectrum or the other. There's literally no in between, I find, with people's perceptions of him. And if I go to Twitter again, @_porcelain, simple enough name, says, toothless and impotent. Once again, we ended up carrying Anwar El Ghazi and Bertrand Traore. Both were an absolute joke in front of goal, and I'm getting sick of seeing it. If we fail to significantly reinforce in January, there's no way Jack will deserve to stay. He deserves better. I mean, that, I think that's a bit of a panic tweet. No offense if you're listening.
Yeah, have a glass of water, I think.
Yeah, listen to some soothing raindrops or something on your Alexa or Google if you have one of those, and just chill out, have a nice, I don't know, have something that you enjoy and relax is what I'm getting at. But Danny, I'll come back to you. I mean, with that in mind, you go to that, and then if I also go to Twitter again, Mark Wheatley says, shows our progress with the domination and disappointment here. Compare this to the game last year when Heaton and Wesley were injured. I think El Ghazi has come about as far as he can with us. Traore deserves more time. Next game might have Cash, Douglas, and Barkley back. So you're basically taking it from one extreme comment to another, which is a lot more modest, and thinking, you know what, a point's a point. We can move on from here. And we're still missing players. Like, if you look at Bertrand as a player, where do you stand with him?
I think Bertrand's getting better every game, to be honest. I understand that people are frustrated. When's the goal going to come? When are the assists going to come? Look, he was a 17 million pound player. So when you pay that much for a player, you expect them to come in and make a difference. Of course, they've got to do that. But not every player can be a goal machine. Like, they need to catch a bit of form. Right now, Villa, at the moment, they are lacking that finish. And it isn't the fault of any one player. You know, Grealish is snatching at chances. Watkins is snatching at chances. There's a little bit of a mini goal drought going on. And to be honest, right, Villa aren't really being punished for it. Like, that's one way of also looking at it. You know, Keenan Davis comes back in this side. You know, that's another player who's been struggling for goals. You know, coming back to El Ghazi. Look, I thought both of them linked up quite well with Jack today. I really don't think it was a creativity issue. I think first half, maybe – it didn't look like they were completely in sync with each other, but it was getting better and better as the game went on. I think it showed that we can maybe make better use of our system. Having a number 10 there really helped in terms of bringing the wingers into play. Jack Grealish really, really helped in terms of bringing Traore and El Ghazi into play. Yeah, I don't know where I stand with Bertrand Traore just yet, but I'm willing to keep on giving him a chance. I don't think he looks out of place in the side.
Yeah, is the one-footedness like a fear at all for you? I mean, there was that one chance where he was like literally like 2 feet out from goal, and the amount of time he took just to hit that, I'm thinking, yeah, but, oh my God, you are so one-footed.
but Grealish has done that as well. Yeah, Grealish has done that loads of times before, where you're kind of like through on goal and you decide to kind of slip it through for Watkins.
True.
You know, he's maybe he's shy of taking a shot. I never see Bertrand Traore take shots. I mean, that's an issue, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that is true. I mean, he had another clear-cut opportunity on the right too, on a quick little break, and he decided to try to square it across instead of just drilling it at goal. And I think that kind of goes down your both of your guys' previous comments. Sometimes you just need to really just drill it at goal. Like, maybe you're not going to have the exact kind of precision to place it where you want, but sometimes you just have to and see where it ends up. And I guess it's that ruthlessness. I mean, like, we really can't complain too much. I mean, look at the season we've had so far. We beat Liverpool 7-2. We've had plenty of goals this season so far. Of course, it's dried up a little bit. That never was going to carry on as a continual thing, or we'd probably have the goal record or somehow.
It's dried up without Barkley. It's dried up.
Yes.
Well, you know, without a key player in that attack.
Well, if you look at Grealish, though, especially today, it kind of speaks volumes. A lot of people going, oh, it's Jack Grealish FC again. Well, it always is. It doesn't matter really who's in there, unless you have two of them with a different name. I don't know.
I don't understand that. I don't understand that. There was. I did not watch that game thinking, oh, Jack Grealish is carrying Villa.
But he
if
looks,
anything for me, like I thought I saw El Ghazi doing just as much.
He looks for that one player, though. Would you not agree? So when Ross Barkley's in there, he looks to make more plays to him. Probably you would say, unless it's obvious to someone else. But more than anything, he looks for Ross. Today, I thought mainly he was looking for Anwar El Ghazi.
Yeah, I think
that was very evident with the amount of chances El Ghazi had today. But Dom, I'll come back to you. And I think the other thing in terms of progression that is very evident, is very pleasing, because when I look at this game, even to sum it up in my own words right now, I look at it and think, you know what, it's 2 points drop, but this is another game where I think there's a Twitter comment that said this too, that we easily would have lost this last season. This would have been a game where in the last probably 10 to 15 minutes, we could have lost and we wouldn't have capitalized. And you know what? We showed how dominant we were, and it just didn't come off. So keeping that in mind and knowing how, especially last season, we'd start off slow coming out of the gate in the second half, what were your thoughts on that? Because it seemed like the tempo never really dropped.
I thought Villa probably ran the most and, you know, had the highest intensity, the highest and most consistent tempo, intensity, energy, all these things, probably all season, to be honest. Maybe, you know, the Arsenal-Liverpool games, but I thought, you know, we didn't stop running. We didn't, you know, Burnley never really had a chance because we were first to every single second ball. We were winning loads of duels. We were pressing really effectively and efficiently. And I thought we just got that balance just right. But I think that one of the most important things is that last season we didn't have that ruthlessness. And I think one of the most important things when you're finishing off a chance or you're trying to score a goal is finding the balance between forcing the issue, which is just taking shots at goal for no reason, and then you're just going to go straight to the goalie and when you should be passing it. But then there's also passing it when you should be shooting. And we were falling on the two sides. We had Traore on, as you say, where he passes at a shooting. We've had chances where you think you just slide in Watkins or just slide in Jack and where our guys is at a shot. So I just think we need to continue finding that balance. And we never had that balance last season, but for most of this season we have. So the fact that we've lost it for one game, it screams an anomaly to me. And I feel like it's going to come. I just feel like it was an unlucky and, again, not good enough. No, at the end of the day, it wasn't just an unfortunate misfortune. We weren't good enough at finishing. I think it will come with time.
But I think as well, like, the other thing is, you know, coming out of this game, heading into the West Brom game now as well, you know, Dean Smith's not going to go back into training going, oh no, I've got so much to sort out here. What am I going to do about this? What am I going
to
do about
that? Time to sort anything out anyway, let's be honest.
No, I get that. But I mean, going back into training, he's not going to be worrying his arse off here thinking, what am I going to do with this team? He's going to go back into training thinking, right, okay, well, finishing was the problem, right? How do we fix that? You know, last season it was the defense. Last season it was, why do we keep on leaking goals? He goes back. Villa go back. They work on it. They sort that out. And now if this is the issue, then fine. Do you know what I mean? It's not the worst issue to have in the world. Like, you've got to score goals, but...
Do you think we take a bit of a pass, though? Like, in considering the amount of changes we... Obviously, some we were forced to make and some were obviously an option. Like, it's the depth thing, kind of, again. You're bringing in players that haven't played for a while. And but you expect it of Grealish. And I'll let you get... Speaking in a sec, Danny, I just wanted to say something quick. Like, you see Grealish and you'll see the regular starters, you're thinking, yes, they should have finished, of course. You look at Watkins as well. But at the same time, these are also players that people are looking at our bench a couple weeks ago and thinking, wow, and I'm probably one of them saying, this bench is so championship standard. Like, we need to improve this bench quickly and massively in some kind of the near future. And the fact that, to be honest, the fact that we dominated this game with some of those players in there, I'm still a little shocked happened. And I think that even speaks to, like you even said before, Danny, with Nakamba, his passing seems a lot crisper. I think it's the competition in the squad. It's gotten so much better and so much sharper that we're seeing even players that we kind of wrote off last season as flops come back in and say, you know what? They can do a job when needed.
You know, I think my question, and I'll throw the question to Tom, right? To Dom, sorry, right? But did any of them actually look out of place? Because they didn't, in my view. And I think that's the thing. That's why it still feels like we've lost 2 points. They all played really well. They all look like Premier League standard players.
I mean, they didn't play particularly badly. I think that the players that they were probably replacing could have done, you know, decent to better jobs. But I don't think they played awfully. I think Al Mohammadi was solid. He was good. You know, Nakamba, as you say, his passing looked quite good. He looked all right. You know, they didn't look out of place. That's the most important thing. When you've got when Nakamba's playing next to John McGinn, an unbelievable player, when Al Mohammadi's got, you know, a decent defensive unit around him, you know, when El Ghazi's playing with Ollie Watkins and Jack Grealish up front, it's easy for them to, you know, to look like the odd man out, but I don't think they did. And that does show that our squad depth, there is something there. But also, you know, the lack of finishing today shows that maybe there isn't enough quality in the squad because, you know, El Ghazi has struggled for goals for a long time then, but doesn't always have the most consistent in-game performances. I feel like there's a lot of class in there. There's a lot of talent in there. And I think anyone can see that. But, you know, despite him being able to score worldies with his right foot against Bristol City, he doesn't really like using it. And he doesn't know what to make the final ball to do. His final ball isn't there. His finishing isn't there. And I hope it'll come. But, you know, you sometimes look at the squad and you think we've got such a good squad at the end of the day. But there's still weaknesses there. And that's what I've just pointed out. But the quality of squad depth that we have is underestimated, I think. And I think that's proven tonight, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go back to Twitter right now because I don't really want to bang this drum, but it got mentioned, so I thought it might be a good talking point nonetheless. So Red J says, people criticize Connor and say he's championship level. El Ghazi, in brackets, love him for his important goals. Outside the brackets, Traore is not the answer. Would rather see a change of shape, two up top, Ollie/Keenan or Wes when he comes back, than El Ghazi and Traore starting. So with that in mind, Danny, I'll come back to you. The main point I want to focus on is Connor Hourihan a little unlucky to get in today? And you and me have discussed this outside the podcast, I don't know how many times, and I know your feelings on him, but what were your thoughts on him not even making an appearance today?
Well, you don't know my feelings on him.
Well, I feel like I do, because the amount of times we've spoken about him.
I'm a big believer in, you know, I'm not a massive believer in keep the winning team no matter what, right? I think rotation is important, and I think you pick the players based on your opponent. I'm gonna give a very, very hot take right now. Yeah, I think Nakamba probably did a better job against Burnley than Dougie probably would have. Not because he's a better player. That's not what I'm saying. But because it suited what we needed, right?
Physicality.
Connor Hourihan did not suit this fixture. In my opinion, he didn't suit this fixture. You know, what this needed was McGinn and Nakamba to just not even allow Ashley Westwood and Brownhill to get any sort of grasp on the game, not even get any sort of hold on the game. I thought Nakamba did that. I thought McGinn did that. You know, you only needed the two midfielders there. That allowed Grealish to kind of go and play in his number 10 role. If you'd have played Connor there, you would have had McGinn doing all the defensive work. We had a lot of set pieces. Perhaps Connor Hourihan would have helped with that. I felt that yeah, he deserved at least a substitution, a substitute appearance later on. But we talked about this before. This is probably this is perhaps one of Dean Smith's biggest weaknesses. And the guy doesn't have many, but the substitutions issue. Yeah, I mean, maybe he could have come on and changed the game. I'm not sure where I stand with him at the moment. I don't think he set the world alight when he has played so far this season. I think that's an issue.
Yeah, it's for me, it's tricky with this game because I can see the argument for bringing him on as a substitution later. The thing with Hurahan is I find he needs a little while to get kind of his feet in check and kind of get his mind into the game. And when you're playing Burnley, they're not going to break at the last minute and try to catch you on the counter in the last 10, 15 minutes, especially in the circumstances they're in right now, just trying to get any point they can right now and stay above that relegation zone, considering all the injuries and troubles they've had so far. They're going to set up shop and they're going to sit deep and just hold out. And that's what they did. And if we're playing someone on the, say like a Brighton or something, when they're going to play on the counter probably for most of the game and try to get at you every way possible, and you can afford those long ball situations, then okay, Hurahan kind of, it makes sense. But this game, I just can't see him bringing that pace and that physicality that's probably needed to kind of break down that back line of Burnley, which, to be fair, I didn't really want to bring this up, but we'll bring it up nonetheless. I mean, a lot of people aren't a fan of Ben Mee. Dom, what are your thoughts on him? I just want to get someone's thoughts on them because on him personally, because it seems like, I mean, of course, they always go back to the Wesley injury and all that kind of stuff, but a little reckless, is he not?
The first thing about, you know, Ben Mee is that he's a class player. He has been for a long time in terms of his quality. He's been a class player off the pitch as well, and, you know, vocal support. I think he's had vocal support for like Black Lives Matter and things like that. But I will not change from the fact that on the pitch, especially in the last two games we played against each other, he has done a lot to grind my gears. We'll start obviously with a potentially career-ending injury to Wesley with a recklessly dangerous challenge. Again, you know, in the Turf Moor fixture last year. And then today, in the first half, he sides Grealish down, doesn't even get booked for it. And then in the second half, kicks Watkins in the face. Now, did he kick the ball? I don't know if giving Watkins a nosebleed and giving him a quiet slash on the side of his head. I don't know. I think that's dangerous play.
Can I just stop it there? I don't know if it's fair to say kicked him in the face, but his boot was high.
His boot's very high, but like it's right. If the ball's not there, he's swinging straight into his face, his boot is. His boot's swinging straight to the face if the ball's not there. It's a dangerous place to put your foot. And I know that Watkins is putting his head on the line, but he's a player that frustrates me. But then again, he's a player that if he was on my team, I'd be saying what a good, you know, hard, no-nonsense centre-half he is. And he's a good player. But yeah, I'm not going to lie. He's a very easy player to get critical of on social media, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, I see, this is the thing that I think some people, especially on social media, and I think that's the terrible side of it with social media, is they take it personally and then think immediately they're a bad person. I hate when you see fans come out, and doesn't even have to be about a Villa fixture. It could be a challenge that someone gets injured. It might not even be on purpose. And I mean, sometimes it is. Some players will play to hurt. Everyone's seen in every sport in the past. And I don't see that with him. I just see him being a physical player. And it annoys me when I see people come out and start calling him every name under the sun, saying he's a terrible person, yada, yada, yada. But Daniel, come to you. Any thoughts on this player in particular?
here's the thing. I think it's fair to say that, you know, him and Tarkowski together did a very good job. If Burnley stay up, it's because of those two. That's what I'll say. Because they have nothing going forward. But like as a Villa fan, yeah, I feel nervous when I see him on the pitch. I feel nervous because the Wesley challenge was terrible. The, you know, what happened last season with Wesley and Heaton in the same game, you know, and to me, it's just I don't know how else I can say it, but it's a lack of talent when your side has to, you know, make tackles from behind players' legs and make deliberate fouls to stop runs through. I understand that, you know, sometimes it happens. Sometimes you tug a player on the back of their shirt to stop them running through. I get that. But there was way too many physical challenges which involved the legs today, and it was just a bit too... not just Burnley in general. It was a bit rough. I feel nervous when he's on the pitch because he does make dangerous tackles. He does make... dangerous challenges, and that's something which, you know, you shouldn't really be doing at that point in his career. Like he's 31, he's experienced. You know, it's no matter. It's no longer a matter of clumsiness. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, some people kind of phase it out of their game and realize that they can adapt, and especially in the Premier League, I you kind of expect some of that maybe in lower divisions where the skill isn't as evident. But I mean, I guess that speaks to Burnley as well. I'm not saying they're a dirty club or anything like that, but they don't have the greatest investment, of course. That could always be subject to change. I think when I was speaking to Dave Roberts on the preview podcast early in the week, that's still going on and has been going on since the summer. They don't have much investment. It's very much of a community and local club, so a very tight squad. They have what they have, and they use all the resources to get the best out of it. And I mean, you have to give kudos to Sean Dyche to even consider where he's got this side, to be honest. I mean, it's remarkable what he's done year in, year out, and I think that has to be applauded. But getting, I guess, back onto the game, and I think one key talking point a lot of people I saw, especially on social media, bring up, and I'll come to Dom about this next, would be Ollie Watkins. I know he blows hot or cold, but in my mind, he does so many things off the ball that we just haven't seen a striker do in years, to be honest. So, Dom, what were your thoughts really on him today? Any negatives? Any positives?
I thought that, you know, like every single game this season for me, he's fantastic, absolutely fantastic. I think that he does so much, as you say, off the ball work. His hold up play is fantastic. Even that little dribble where he's like bouncing it off his thigh, you can see he's got so much class. You know, he's a fast technical player. He's brilliant on the ball. He makes brilliant runs. He's a nightmare to play against for centre halves. And I think that it's 28 million well spent. He scored a few goals already. He's going through a little bit of a dry patch, maybe he'd say. You know, we know how high the standards is that he holds. But as you say, he is the best striker for Villa. You know, okay, Tammy got the goals. But in terms of general player as well, I generally think he's the best Villa striker we've had since like prime Christian Benteke, genuinely. I think that he's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. He's a brilliant player. Yeah, and I mean, shout out to Benteke for scoring on Wednesday as well. Great to see he still has the same celebration as he did like 7 years ago. A little bit nostalgia there if you want to go back and see that in any highlight reel that you have available to you. But you know what, guys, actually, let's move on to our match balls. Unless, Danny, do you have anything extra you wanted to mention before we kind of preview the West Brom game?
I think I'm happy. I think on the Watkins issue, I'm a little bit concerned. He's lacking a bit of a killer instinct at the moment. That seems to be a problem across the entire front line, though. So hopefully we see him bang one in. He needs one from open play. He needs a goal pretty soon. Even the penalty was just an indicator of, you know, a couple of weeks ago, the penalty was a bit of an indicator of where he was at. The fact that I felt nervous when he was about to take it. Yeah, he needs to grab a couple of goals soon enough, because that general play is all good. But we need a striker up top who's going to finish. We need somebody who's going to bang it in the back of the net. And Watkins has to be that guy.
To be fair to him, though, the amount of times I've seen in games, you know, with the mics, you can hear a lot more. The amount of times I've seen him say, you know, but play it in, I'm in. Like the amount of positions that he gets into, that he's, as I've said, referenced on the podcast, the final ball isn't always there. And there has been some chances where he's, you know, not done well enough. But I also think there's a lot of times where he's got into a position where he's going to score every time and Ross Barkley would find him. Do you know what I mean?
True. We had a lot of shots today and too many of them came from the wingers when perhaps they should be feeding the striker.
Yeah, no, 100%. Actually, that relates well to a question. Actually, we'll continue the Watkins talk here for a few more moments because I just recalled this. Ben Hackison, sorry if I butchered your last name like I do everyone else's. The second half of his tweet's probably the most relevant, so I'll just read that. He's saying maybe worth playing Watkins on the wing as our chances seem to fall to wingers. I'm thinking that's more when Wesley comes back, but do you think Watkins is a pure striker, Danny, or is he meant to maybe play on the wing when Wesley comes back? Because to be honest, I'd be really interested to see how that works.
No, I could see him on the wing, but at the same time, I feel like he drifts wide anyway when he's up top. And look, see, that question's irrelevant at the moment because we don't have another striker. So
true. Well, we have Big Keenan. I just can't finish.
Yeah, that's the issue for everybody right now.
True.
And in fact, to be honest, right? Here's another thing about Dean Smith's substitutes. You could tell nothing was going into the back of the net a long time before he brought on Keenan Davis. Why only give him 10 minutes? Give him 15, give him 20. You might have had a more, might have had more of a chance to score then.
And when you bring him on, why don't you move Watkins out to the left, El Ghazi to the right, and Keenan up front so he can hold up play, and then El Ghazi could just pepper balls across instead of, you know, playing a you know, a strong hold up strike out on the right. I thought that was quite strange, but
Yeah, no, I exactly. If you're gonna put Davis on, in my opinion, you need someone tight to him. He hasn't put away those opportunities where you think, okay, another striker probably would. He's another one where he just needs it to go off his behind or any part of his body. It just needs to go in the net. And he needs that confidence as well. Cause I think he's another player where I think if one goes in, I'm not going to say you're going to see lots of them. He's going to start banging them in, but you'll see, I think especially for someone like him, that can improve all assets of his game in terms of hold up play, just directional passing, everything. So it's definitely a confidence thing, but nonetheless, let's get on to our match ball. So Daniel, come to you first. Who do you give yours to?
This is a difficult one. I'm going to give it to Anwar El Ghazi. I think it was a bit of an issue that he shot too many times, and yeah, it probably was a bit of an issue that he didn't score, but he came closest to scoring. And to be honest, he had bags of energy all game. It would look like if we were going to score a goal, it was going to come through him. Yeah. You know, I was thinking about what substitutions could we make in the 60th, 70th, 80th minute. And I was thinking, well, can't take off Anwar, can you? You can't take him off. As much as Jack Grealish had a very good game, I don't think that he... I don't think that he did as much as Anwar today, just in terms of going forward. I think Grealish worked well with him and helped him get in those positions. But that was as dominating a performance as I've seen from a Villa winger in a very long time. At least a few games since Grealish probably against Arsenal. But yeah, I thought it was a very good game from him. He just needs that final product. I hope it goes in for him at some point. Again, if he has an identical game next game and an identical game the game after that, then I wouldn't be giving him the match ball. But for now, I'll just put it down to being unlucky.
Fair enough. Dom, how about you?
I think I'd agree with pretty much everything that, you know, Danny's just said there. I think that El Ghazi had a really dominant performance by his standards, somewhat similar to the Plough final, the way that he was getting involved in literally every single attack. However, on the basis of the amount of chances that he just couldn't put away, I think in the first half, he was probably, you know, more unlucky with the free kick and things like that. But especially in the second half, the amount of chances that he just couldn't put away or he could have passed it and chose to shoot instead, I've got to give it to Jack, because I still think that pretty much every single attack had him involved. He was coming deep, but he was going far. He was drifting wide, drifting out to the left, drifting out to the right, getting involved in everything. I don't want to be that Villa fan who just gives Jack man of the match every time because Jack's Jack. But I think El Ghazi is probably, you know, a really close shout for it. But on the base of the fact that he was so unlucky and lacked some of the quality at times, lacked the confidence, I'd say as well, I think I'll probably have to give it to Jack, because I think without him, I think Burnley probably would have had a much better chance of gaining a foothold in the game, actually.
No, 100%. That's more than fair. I'll make mine quick and simple. I said it on Twitter. I'm going to go with Marvelous Nakamba. And the reason I say that, to be honest, he stepped in and you really didn't have to notice any, I didn't notice any errors. He just stepped in flawlessly, in my opinion. His passing for at least this game was, I guess, marvelous, to be punny. Didn't have any complaints with him, was clean in the middle, really just swept things up neatly, made passes when it needed to be, moving back to the defense to the goalkeeper, was able to move things forward actually quite nicely. And I think that's been one aspect of his game where at least I've noticed is definitely he's one of those players where if he's on the ball too long and he has too much time to think, he has an error in him. And there were some times when he held on to it and he looked a lot more composed and a lot more kind of confident in himself. So kudos to him, and more to come. And hopefully we can see a little bit more of him here and there when needed. But you know what, let's preview West Brom on Sunday. There's not going to be an opposition one for that, because frankly this will go up on Friday, the game Sunday. It's pointless to have another podcast go up.
You want to open this kind of worms, Cole?
Yes, because Sam Allardyce is back. Of course we play West Brom on Sunday at the Hawthorns, and it's really annoying that Slaven Bilic, in my opinion, unfairly got sacked. I mean, the ownership group at West Brom seems like an absolute joke. He gets sacked, and of course I'm thinking, oh no, okay, you might get the new manager balance, but you know what? Maybe they won't have a manager, and of course it's Big Sam, so you immediately know what to expect. So Danny, I'll come to you. What are you expecting? How are you feeling about this game now?
No, it'll be a mess. Villa will win. It'll be a mess. Personally, I think, yeah, I think it's a Villa win. As long as they can put away some opportunities, right? That's where we lie here with Villa. I know that Villa are going to dominate the game. I know that Villa are going to, you know, walk over them creatively because West Bromwich Albion aren't a great team. I mean, they were getting to that, you know, under Bilic. Bilic had them starting to play some decent football. They looked like they were getting there, in my opinion, in the last couple of games. But hey ho, that's it. Like, Bilic is gone. Big Sam's in. Those players, for me, they were putting in a lot of effort. You know, a lot of those guys, perhaps, you know, borderline Championship to Premier League standard. They needed a little bit of time. They needed a little bit of coaching. A little bit of what's the word? TLC, right? They were getting there. They were getting there. Conor Gallagher's getting there. Dean Garner looks to be a very good player when he's on the pitch. Ajayi's getting there as well, a player that they brought in from Rotherham of all clubs. Carlin Grant, a little bit like Ollie Watkins at the moment, in that he's snatching at shots but getting into those positions. And yeah, I just think that Big Sam isn't going to have them playing as hard as they would have done for Bilic. I think there's going to be a bit of a morale issue. I think the players might just dip a little bit. Maybe perks him up, perhaps, but I honestly doubt it. So for me, I'm not expecting much of a fight. I shouldn't say that because it's foreshadowing, but there you go.
Yeah, now we're going to get smacked like 3-0. Or actually, watch, it'll be like an extra time in the second half. It'll be 0-0 and or something like that. And of course, like it feels like as soon as Sam Allardyce is appointed, I'm like, fantastic. You just know what to expect now. But of course, what they played on, was it Tuesday or Wednesday? I mean, he's only going to have a matter of a few days to really you can't really implement much. It's just going to be probably back to basic simplicity and essentially just really trying to see what he can get out of this game and then build on from there. So Dom, I'll come back, or I should come to you, I should say. How are you feeling about this one? And I guess with that being said, how do you think Villa can break this West Brom side down?
I think, you know, if you compare Burnley and West Brom, you've got two defensively oriented managers, I'd say, who are going to make it difficult for you to play, who are going to have a good physical battle with you. I'd say that both sides have got quality going forward. I thought, you know, brief mention to Dwight McNeil, who I think is a fantastic footballer, showed it again today. But, you know, you've got Matheus Pereira and the one, you know, as well as the ones that Danny mentioned down there, who are all, Pereira might be suspended.
I don't think Pereira is playing, no.
Oh, is he not? No, I had something in my head, sorry. But yeah, you know, quality players like that are going to make it difficult for us. But I think it could well be a story very similar to today where we dominate the game, and maybe don't end up with the Swallows. But I'm hoping that the finishing just comes on Sunday, the fact that it didn't come today. So I'm still feeling very optimistic. I'm confident that we'll have a similar performance in us. Hopefully, yeah. You know, if Cash and Louise can come back and provide some fresh legs to, you know, assist what will be a bit of a jaded squad, I think, after playing 90 minutes on Thursday. I hope that'll be enough to see us there, and I think we should really be beating this West Brom side.
Oh, absolutely. I think one thing, like, massive positive, like you just said, of course, you can probably expect Cash and Louise to come in. And then, of course, we don't know the status of Ross Barkley. Maybe he does. I still think it might be a little too soon, and I personally don't really want to risk him. I think there's other games that he'd be much more needed for. And, you know, if it does and he does play, that's awesome. That's three crucial players that, in my opinion, it gives me 10 times more confidence than I already have going into this game. It's just one of those games that, especially with all those changes on there, and it screams to me that they're going to play tight and compact. It's going to be tough to get some opportunities. So kind of thinking of today, we're going to have to be much more clinical and take those opportunities. And we've already seen it a few times. And I mean, the man was in goal for us and almost helped us get promoted, that being Sam Johnston. We know his qualities. We know how much of a good goalkeeper he can be at times, albeit we beat them in the playoffs. And yeah, it kind of sucked for him at that time. No offense. But if there's a West Brom fan listening to this somehow, I offended you. I don't know if I apologize or not, but anyways, let's get this thing wrapped up. We'll do our score predictions and we'll sign off here because I think our recording time is almost up. So Danny, I'll come to you next for the score, or first, I should say, for the score prediction. What's yours?
Gosh, should I even do this?
Do it.
4-0 Villa.
Ooh. So now we're going to get smashed, okay?
Nice.
Dom,
Listen. I try not to go with emotion when it comes to these things.
Fair enough.
And I'm like, on paper, Villa are a very good team going forward on paper, right? Like, so yeah, 4-0.
I'd probably say 2-0. I do have the optimism, maybe not to the same extent that Danny does with 4, but you know, 2-0 will be happy enough for me. 1-0 is enough for me. Just a win is enough for me. An Ollie Watkins goal is enough for me.
That's more than fair enough. I don't know if I'm making you guys more nervous with what I'm saying here. I don't know. I always hate these quote unquote managerial bounces. They lose a manager and then everyone, the morale seems to get up a little bit. But I think for this one, it's one of those where I think even the players are going to feel like Bilic was really hard done by, and I think they really liked him. So I don't know how that's going to react right there. But Dandy, you were going to say something?
No, I was going to say, Cole, yeah, this is a different situation, isn't it? Like you said, you said it yourself. Like this isn't a situation of, all right, we've been doing terribly, but a new man is in and we're going to play for him because we believe in him. This is going to be a situation of, well, oh, Slav's gone. That's a shame.
No,
you know?
That's
where we're at.
No, that's fair. To be honest, we could absolutely spank them. It's just one of those things. I think a lot of people, including me, read into them and then overthink about it. And if anyone knows me, I love to overthink about really stupid things. So nonetheless, I'm going to go with something that goes completely against what I've been talking about for the last few minutes. I'll go 3-1 Villa. I think we'll concede. I think they'll score one. I can just see it being a local derby and all that kind of stuff. And I think we'll be more clinical. I think when you have Cash and Louise back in the middle, I think it's going to allow a few more players to be a little bit more freed up. I want to see Ollie Watkins score, and I think you will, and I think Grealish will as well. So we'll see who gets the third, but nonetheless, I think there's another win there and another way to send us into Christmas very, very happy considering the state the world is in right now. But anyways, let's wrap it up there. Thanks both to Danny and to Dom for joining me. Of course, Dom, if they want to find you, where can they find you?
At DomPhillips_1 is my Twitter handle, and that's where I do most of my waffling and where most of my stuff can be found from. So if you want to find me, that's where I am.
Absolutely. Of course, if you want to find Danny, it's at RazzaGiorno. If you want to find me on Twitter, it's at TalkAstonVilla. Of course, you can tweet us at 7500 to Holt. Email the podcast at holtcast@gmail.com. We'll leave it there. Hopefully a positive result on Sunday against West Brom. And don't forget, up the Villa.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.